Hell Yes Life, episode 19. Welcome to the Hell Yes Life podcast, the show that helps you come alive so you can live a Hell Yes Life. I'm your host, Norman Bell. Hey there, Hell Yes Lifers. Welcome to another episode of the Hell Yes Life podcast. I am your host, Norman Bell. So glad you could join us. This is the place to hear inspiring stories and actionable tips that will inspire you to move towards your Hell Yes Life. Now, this podcast releases episodes every Tuesday, and show notes can be found at hellyeslife.com. Now, if you enjoy the podcast, I invite you to write a review for us on the Apple Podcast app. Your review encourages us, and it helps other people choose the podcast because it ranks a little bit higher, I believe, when there's more ratings and reviews for the podcast. Now, here's an example of a 5-star review given by one of our listeners, David Warren. David says, I was fortunate enough to see Norman Bell in person about a year ago. His live presentation was phenomenal. Naturally, when I found out he started a podcast, I wanted to subscribe. I have not been disappointed. Well, thank you, David. Glad you are enjoying the show. And Hell Yes Lifers, if you want to write a review, please visit hellyeslife.com/HYL iTunes. hellyeslife.com/HYL iTunes. Now, when you do, if you include your business name or website or whatever important information you want to hear on the podcast, I will mention it when I give you a shout out. Now, let's get into today's episode. Hell Yes Lifers, today my guest is Maura Sweeney. Maura is an author, Huffington Post contributor, international speaker, podcaster, and creator of the Foundations of Happiness e-course. She is also the trademarked ambassador of happiness, a title she says that she earned when she was pursuing her own Hell Yes Life, which she says she started in her 50s. Now Maura shares her living happy inside out mantra through books, podcasts, videos, and blog posts. Maura says she loves to help individuals find their voice, entrepreneurs develop their brand, and leaders emerge into their most authentic, influential, and highest versions of themselves. She loves speaking on topics like influence, leadership, emotional intelligence, and authenticity. I had a really good conversation with Maura, and I think you're going to enjoy it, so let's dive in. Maura Sweeney, how are you doing today?
I am doing great. How about you?
I am doing great. Now, Maura, are you ready to tell us about your Hell Yes Life?
I can't wait to tell you about it, Norman. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Let's do this. Great. So I always like to ask our guests, Maura, just out of the gate, what is your Hell Yes? And what I mean by that is, what is your passion? What is that thing that really makes you come alive?
Doing everything I do today, except maybe a little less work. I travel the world, I make new friends everywhere I go, and I get the opportunity to share through all kinds of digital outlets every good thing I find about other people around me. And it's the very thing I wanted to do when I was a little girl. I wanted to travel the world. I wanted to be able to write official documents like I do now with my website, Huffington Post, etc. And I am making new friends everywhere I go and always focusing on the things that unite us and the things that make us feel good and happy from the inside out.
That sounds awesome. What a great life. Awesome Hell Yes Life. It sounds like you got going on there. So let's back up a little bit. Why don't you tell us a little bit about, you've got, you know, it sounds like a lot of different things going on. What are some of the things that are on your radar right now?
Well, as of 2 nights ago, I just released my second edition of my Art of Happiness books, which I love because they're all story-based. They focus in on the places in life where we all get stuck, and then we start telling ourselves the same story, and we really can have a Hell Yes Life. And so I enjoy doing that. It's my updated issues. 2 weeks ago, I was in – The Hague in the Netherlands, speaking at the World Forum. And I was speaking at a Women Economic Forum event for EU and Africa, meeting new friends, eating new food, and talking about turning our dreams into a reality. So they're all the kinds of stuff I enjoy.
Wow. Wow. So that you're, so it's the work that you do takes you all over the world. That is so awesome. I dream of having that level of, activity in my life, soon as well. So Maura, can you tell us a little bit about, you were mentioning, before we started the interview here, that in your book, The Art of Happiness, you talk about six areas of life that keep us stuck. Can you tell us a little bit more about those?
Yeah, I did a separate ebook on each one of them, and they're so common to all of us. The first is comfort zones. How many times do we say, I want to really have a hell yes life, but no, I don't, because I can't stand to leave my comfort zone because I'm afraid? That was my first in the series. The second one was influence. You know, sometimes we think we're a person of really little influence, or we allow bad influences to overshadow our lives. And I tell a lot of life stories about the good influences that came from things like a third grade teacher or other people I met along the way in my early life. Competition is another area. We get stuck negatively comparing ourselves and competing with other people for what we think is not enough. And that's an area we really get stuck in. Judgment. How often do we not like the way other people judge us, but then we turn around and judge other people? If we could get past that, we end up feeling a lot freer and a lot happier. I talk about values. You know, how often do we adopt values that belong to other people but not us? Like, oh, I want to be the most popular person when really you don't. Or you just said to me, oh, you know, I'd really like to go and travel to all these places. Well, when I was little, I wanted to travel everywhere. Sometimes I think, you know, people have different ideas about what their values are. Maybe their value is, you know, volunteering at the local library or staying home and entertaining people around the kitchen. So I love to talk about exploring values and helping people find values, not the ones that everybody tells them are important, but the ones they feel are important to themselves. And my last book in the series is all about nonsense. I could have subtitled it Insanity or Am I the Only Insane Person on the Planet? And it's just a funny book about how we try to do things and then we realize the world gets in the way. So I love writing in terms of asking people a question, getting them to think about their own life story, inviting them into my life story. And then, Norman, I don't know if you've ever heard this, but this is a great thing. People have said that stories have the ability to bring us from one reality to another. And so when we hear somebody else's story, we start injecting our own life into it. And if the story comes out with a different alternative, then we could say to ourselves, hey, you know what? I could replay my own tape and come out with something that sounds better and sounds more empowering and helps me get off the mark and get unstuck. So you can tell I love what I do.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I can hear the passion there. You have come alive, Maura. So, gosh, each one of these topic areas we could probably spend a whole episode on. But let's just go back to a couple of things. And first of all, I want to acknowledge that, yes, indeed, I have discovered the power of stories. I was actually doing some storytelling workshops a year or two ago and really just became aware of the fact that us human beings, we're built for story. You know, when we hear storytelling, we really hook in a way that facts and figures just don't hook us. So I totally acknowledge that. And I want to hear one of your stories. I think you were mentioning something about getting out of your comfort zone. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, and I hope this will speak to your audience on a couple of levels, because my background was such that I was a little girl, very much a free spirit, even though my life was, you know, put into a box. Nothing wrong with it, but it just wasn't my box. But I happened to see American Bandstand, a show you wouldn't even know about. It was on years ago. And I was seeing kids dancing to music. I didn't even know what it was called. And I said to my mother, what's going on here? And she said, they're dancing. And I said to her, that's what I want to do. Well, would you believe that instead of learning how to dance, I ended up training to become a New Jersey, New York area lawyer. It was everything I didn't want to do. I had that childhood dream that carried with me. And I thought, even by college, forget about it. I'm too old to be the kid in the tutu. Norman, I actually started learning how to dance and getting out of my own comfort zone at age 49 and counting. And I'm telling you, I fell all over myself. People didn't laugh at me. No, they laughed at me, not with me. I almost destroyed an onstage performance at a local college, but I never gave up. I can't even tell you how many times I used to leave class thinking, I need to cry. I've got to hide myself. I can't believe I'm this dumb, because it was all the acquired mental baggage I picked up. Like I was always told that I was uncoordinated, which was true. I was always falling. I wasn't into sports. And so imagine almost 50 years of being told that and then believing it yourself. Like I was really smart, but not able to move myself with grace. And yet, I don't want to spoil the book, I kept at it. And so all of the things, in order to get to my happiness, in order to break through, and in order to really get back to something as a child that I saw and so related to, because to me, it was like poetry in motion. It was freedom. It was setting my body free to move. Getting out of my own way and out of that comfort zone was like dying to get there, but I never gave up. And it actually launched my book series. And people said to me, oh my gosh, more of the story was so pathetic. By the time I got finished reading your story, I thought, I think I could go and do a marathon around the globe.
Oh, that's great. That's great. That is so inspiring. And hell yes, lifers out there that are listening to that story, I'll bet there's a few of you that can relate, right? We're all in this place, or we oftentimes can be in this place where there's something that we, wanted to do when we were young, but for one reason or another didn't go forward on. Maybe somebody told us that wasn't important, but it comes back. You know, that could be your hell yes, right? It might not be, something that's about making $1 million or saving the world. It might be you just want to dance, and it's never too late. It's never too late to get back out there, as you can hear in Maura's story. So thank you for sharing that, Maura. So that actually relates to another one of your subjects there about values, right? So you're talking about really learning about what are your values versus what are other people's values. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Oh, are you kidding? I would love it. And all of my stories come from my own life and my own experience. So they're all really near and dear to me. Think about this. Depending on where we grow up, what era, what our economic situation is, maybe what the academic background is of our family, or sometimes our religious and cultural upbringing. It could be lots of things. We end up picking up values that the world tells us are important. And what happens is that we start thinking they're our values. And when we live apart from the values that are important to us, we're not energized, we're not empowered, and we're almost working at odds against ourselves. So I started this book and I was like, okay, what is your most important value in life? Now, maybe some people never even ask themselves. I chose mine and I called it truth, T-R-U-T-H. And I got it because I lived with a grandmother. I used to call her Nana, who was probably one of the most brutally truthful people you'd ever want to meet. She would tell you if you look great. She'd tell you if you looked awful and say, go back and change your clothes. And she was almost in your face. But I realized as a young person that being around people who were truthful meant I could be around people that I could trust. Now, that was a value for me. But hey, there are other people that don't like that, but they may have a value that's courage or compassion. And once we identify with those values and we start moving and operating out of those values and thinking about them, it helps us be more of who we really are. It helps engage us with others. It helps us feel more empowered. And think about this. You know, a lot of times through life, we could be selling different things or working at different companies. But when we know what value sort of defines us, imagine going out and people start recognizing you by that value that you hold dear. It's like people start getting to know you by your energetic signature. It's like, I know that person. That person always makes me feel inspired or whatever that value may be. And it's such a great feeling for me to help people connect with things that are important to them, not to me, not to the rest of the world, but to them. And I always believe that when they do that, they end up feeling happier from the inside. And they also feel like they live a more authentic and, in your words, a hell yes life. Like, this is my life, not your life, and not a life somebody gave to me. It's the life I'm building of my own. And it's really empowering and fun.
I totally agree with that. And I really feel that strongly about, you know, people finding their hell yes. It's not my hell yes. It's not your hell yes, Maura. It's their hell yes. You know, it's whoever has that dream, has that passion, you know, to be true to that. And so many times we take on society's values of like, no, this is important. You need to get a house. You need to make a lot of money. You need to get a nice car. But you know, there may be some people out there listening to this that have those things and feel a little bit empty. It's because you still haven't connected with your hell yes. So connect with your values, connect with your hell yes lifers. Let me ask a couple more questions here, Maura. So tell me about nonsense. Tell me about the nonsense that gets in our way as we're trying to pursue our dreams.
Oh, gosh. I think it's everywhere. It's everywhere. You know, what I told you, I just updated my books and I happened to remove something I had in the original series because I was expanding it so much. Just let me give you a perfect example of how crazy and insane the world is. You almost want to say, why do I go through these things? Have you ever decided that, you know, you wear a particular kind of deodorant and you get used to the deodorant and then you want to go to a place like Target and Target has your deodorant. In my case, it's Secret, right? Secret Solid. Mine is unscented. I could go to Target. They may have four shelves of Secret deodorant and I find every fragrance except the kind I'm looking for. And then I find myself a half hour later saying, do I want to smell like chocolate coconut or do I want to smell like hibiscus mist? And you know, that is like how crazy the world is. It's like we end up majoring in minors. We put our thoughts on stupid things. And I really think the world is crazy. The book that I wrote called Nonsense dealt with my what seemed like a really simple question. I mentioned that I travel a lot. I happened to be on my way up to New York a couple of years ago, and it was during the winter, and I thought, all right, I want to travel lightly because I'll be on public transportation. I'm bringing one coat. And I write this book called Nonsense, my version of Nonsense, on what appeared to be this simple idea of I'm going to bring just one winter coat to New York. And I take you through my journey to insanity to find a single coat that will work on this trip and how no matter what I did, it was the wrong coat. And all it was a metaphor for the absolute nonsense we all address in life. And the bottom line being sometimes we have to take a step back. We have to laugh. We have to drop our ridiculous crusades and then start up again. And so that's a big part of our lives. And, you know, and if we take life too seriously and we don't see it through a funny lens, we may lose that very, like that internal spark that makes us want to have that hell yes life because we got caught up in the minutiae and the nonsense and the insanity.
Right, right. Now, I mean, there's so many a million different things that can pull our attention every single day, right? And, you know, I was talking to someone else on the show last week, and they were just talking about weapons of mass distraction. You know, there's just like,
yes.
You know, like we're, so if we don't have some sort of plan or some sort of a way to focus, then we're just going to be reacting all day long and reacting to this nonsense that's coming up both out, you know, in the exterior world and also, I don't know, at least I can speak for myself. Sometimes my mind is just going off in crazy directions. So what kinds of things, Maura, do you have any recommendations about things our hell yes lifers can do to, you know, kind of filter out some of the nonsense or focus themselves?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm asked this question very frequently. And I have to tell you, this whole idea about distractions, I can remember being a preschooler noticing how everybody was trying to get everybody else's attention out there and never saying, gee, what's going on the inside of me? So I must have had that awareness even when I was young. So here's what I would recommend more today than ever for any of your hell yes lifers to close their eyes and put their hand, you know, like when we used to say the Pledge of Allegiance, to take the palm of their hand and put it right over their chest immediately underneath their collarbone. And here's why. It stops the monkey mind. It takes the attention away from the intellect, which is where we gather all of those external things that are vying for our attention. And all of a sudden, if we close our eyes and we start to just breathe a little more slowly, and our attention is now focused on our heart and our soul, your Hell Yes Lifers could ask themselves a question like this. What did I love doing when I was growing up? And they let that question just bring them on their life story. And this is what I tell them. Just be there for a couple of minutes, and they could even do it after the show is over, maybe at night. And here's the thing. The moment a smile comes on their face, stop right there, because I'm telling you, it would be like me watching that TV show about kids dancing on a Saturday morning and saying, oh my gosh, that's one of the strings to my full life. That's what my soul, my spirit, my internal mora wants, as opposed to in what the world wants for me or wants me to do for the world. And I always tell people, here's another thing, take at least 5 minutes every day for yourself and keep a little journal. And here's why. Learn to become your best friend. Learn to listen to your own thoughts. If you get up in the morning and have a question for yourself, do the same thing with your hand on your heart. Ask a reflective question like, gee, what are my values? What do I really consider to be important? And expect that answer to come. It may not come right then and there. You could be out driving later on, and all of a sudden it'll come to your awareness. Put it in a journal and start focusing in a little bit more and a little bit more on what your dialogue is in that journal. Because what you'll start doing is disconnecting from all this stuff that the world says you need to be, need to do, need to buy, need to invest in, whatever. And then you can start little by little disengaging from some of those things you don't care about, some of those things that are not important to you, freeing yourself up, and then giving yourself an intention and a permission to start pursuing those things that your inner soul is talking to you about. It's a progressive thing. It happens step by step. But the thing is, what you're really doing is giving place to your own thought life, your own values, your own desires, and those things we all come into the world with, like, yep, I want to do this. I want to have a hell yes life. And then we start kindergarten and the world changes, right? And so you're actually buying your life back again, or let me not say buying it, you are reclaiming it. And I know that everybody has to start somewhere, and we do it incrementally. It's like taking a step at a time, and each step helps us get closer and more embodying that hell life, yes, we really want. You know, we don't always bite off, you know, a big elephant in one bite. That's a bad analogy, but you know what I'm talking about. Who the
heck wants an elephant? Yeah, it takes many bites to eat an elephant. I would agree with that. Yeah. Right. Well, you know, it's interesting when I was following along there, I put my hand on my chest and was asking myself about, you know, when I was a kid, and I had an image come up of myself drawing. I used to do a lot of drawing and coloring and painting and all this kind of stuff, and definitely public speaking and doing what I'm doing now is you know, two big hell yeses for me. But I, you know, we have many hell yeses, right? And so it's great to honor all those things. And it's good that was a great little exercise for me. It's helped me remember, like, oh, I've got to get some drawing in there at some point. I got to do some doodling. So thanks for that, Maura.
Oh, Norman, I'm so glad you even mentioned it. And you know what? Let me say why this is important. You see, I could hear you're smiling. It's like, hey, I forgot about that. I need to go back to it. Do you know that was one of the things I did when I had to stay in the house instead of going outside and playing? I used to doodle too. I picked up my artwork when I started writing, and I use it in my books and my blogs. So think about this for anybody who's listening. When you put a couple of things together that you really like, you can actually use those elements to create your own branded career. So you follow, because they're usually a brand comes from more than one signature. So you take a couple of things you like and you keep working them together.
Right, right. So Hell Yes Lifers, you don't have to have one Hell Yes. I know I always ask the question, what's your Hell Yes? That really what the question is, what's one of your Hell Yeses? But that's not as catchy. So, but just keep that in mind. There could be, numerous things, right? There could be, you know, maybe there's a top five list or something. Maybe there's a top 100 list, but, yeah, I like that idea, that mix of, you know, a few of your different passions, to create your unique brand. That's great. Well, Maura, I want to shift gears a little bit and ask you a little bit about your past. You told me a little bit, you took us through that story of, your journey to getting back to your passion of dancing. Can you tell us about another challenge that you faced sometime in your past? It could be in your childhood or another time, but maybe a time when you weren't as clear as you are now about what your Hell Yes life looked like or what your passions were. And you're kind of maybe up against a wall and, you know, you didn't know how you were going to overcome those challenges, but maybe you did and maybe you learned a lesson.
I did. I'm going to go back to childhood and then give you my point to 23 years old where I really had to step away. When I was little, I actually used to dream about meeting people around the world. I mean, that's all I wanted to do was go travel and meet these people from every different culture. My mother was agoraphobic. She was afraid to go out of the house. So I was literally, I have memories of being at the front door in the summertime. It was 4:30 in the afternoon, wearing pajamas, crying, watching my friends play out in the cul-de-sac. So here you get this person who wants to do something and she can't do it because, you know, it's like, you know, you have parents and you have to obey. But by the time I was 23 years old, here I was doing everything I was supposed to do. My family expected me to be a lawyer. I was a political science major. I was halfway through law school and thought, oh my gosh, I don't want to live in New Jersey. I wanted to live in Florida where it was warm. I don't want to practice law, but this was what my family expected of me. And it would have been 40 years of practicing in a career I didn't want in New Jersey. Norman, this was my moment when everything reached the, I can't go any further. I was literally halfway through law school and one morning I could not get up out of my chair to get to my car and drive to school, to law school. I was carrying a load that was so heavy and all I kept thinking is I'm losing the light inside of me and I'm trying to live here a fake life and I don't have the energy to do it. And so I ended up telling the people at law school I was taking a sabbatical. What I didn't have the nerve to tell them was that in my mind, it was a permanent sabbatical. I was never coming back. The fear. Seriously, we could laugh about it now. And they could go to my website and look at the pictures and you'll be like, yep, more. I could see why you looked like you were dying. I write about a Hell Yes life because I made my Hell Yes life happen because I couldn't live my fake life anymore. And so I get off this path and I'm like, okay, now I've disappointed the whole family. I don't even know what I want to do, but my big goal was this. I need to find what is inside of me in the way of a spark that will excite me, that I could connect with, that every single day of my life, I'm going to want to jump out of bed in the morning and go and do it for at least the next 40 years. And so I ended up in a path. And that's why I write so much, Norman, because there are a lot of people, they're dying slowly. When I say dying, it's like that spark dies because they're not living from within. They're not being true to themselves. And so I spent several decades, little by little, figuring out what I like, putting things in my tool chest, using everything that came my way. And then when I hit my 50s, I started writing about life stories and how we could really connect with those things that we really love. And, you know, we happen to be at a time in society when everybody's making changes, the world is changing, and it's looking for new people that are really going to be true to themselves. It's not an easy thing, but I feel like the person that jumped off the gangplank and says, hey, I'm still swimming. It's good. I've reached bottom and I'm still waving to you. So come on in and you could do the same. Mm-hmm. And that's my motivation, is to help encourage other people to find their Hell Yes life, even if it means they're taking baby steps, because each step is so empowering and so life-giving.
Well, this is great, Maura. This is, you know, one of the things I love about doing this podcast is having a conversation like this and just imagining somebody out there, or maybe a bunch of people, but I'm just imagining one. Maybe it's you, Hell Yes Lifer, who's listening to this, that is in that place where you're like, I'm looking over the edge and I'm wondering, should I take a leap? Should I take a tiny step anyway? And maybe listening to a conversation like this, between two people who have at least least taken a few steps forward, might inspire you to do the same. So I love hearing that. So let me pivot a little bit to a breakthrough moment for you. You know, now you're out there, you're all over the world speaking and so forth. You're on the Huffington Post. But what was a point where you started to feel like, you know, and then you also said, you quit the, doing law and so forth, but you didn't know what was coming next. So you had a bit of a journey there. What was the point where you started to think like, hey, wait a second, I think I might be onto something?
Oh, you know, boy, that was a big question there. And there's been many years from between leaving law school. You know what I'm going to tell you is a really big thing. Even though I had a corporate career, I ended up in corporate leadership in the telecom industry, did very well, loved realizing how much I loved training and developing people and creating cultures and winning cultures, promoting people. I loved it. But I would say for me, a big step happened when our daughter, who I actually homeschooled at 16 years old, was ready to go to Boston and study at Boston University. She was so independent. And I thought, well, guess what? I want to give her a picture of a mother that keeps moving on and keeps growing. And at that point, because I knew I had invested a lot in her, and I thought, you know what? I have held myself back in the past. There's no reason why I should hold myself back now. And that was when I started with the writing. I did videos, but I'm going to give you what I think is a funny turning moment, okay, yep, in my career. I was visiting our daughter who was living in London at the time, and then I took a side trip to Liverpool, England. I wanted to do some research. I was doing some for the Huffington Post on what was the backstory of the Beatles. Like, they didn't start out as being the Fab Four that everybody knew, but I wanted to go back and do their backstory. So I'm doing all kinds of research, and for the third day in a row, I walk past BBC Studios. And I'm like, wait a minute, why didn't I ever think to step in BBC and say, is there somebody in here I could interview and learn about the Beatles back then? Because that was where they got their start. Well, here's the funny part, I thought, Norman, and I thought, where are the candid cameras so they could laugh with me? I asked if I could interview somebody for research I'm doing. And the next thing I know, a 37-year-old guy comes out who does their drive time radio. And he said, Moore, I'm sorry, I never met the Beatles, but can I interview you? Ah. And I got a BBC radio interview for about a half hour where I talked about the Royals. I talked about presidents. We talked about politics. We talked about the differences between cultures. And I thought, this is hysterical. I kept doing what I loved, following stories that I loved. And the next thing I knew, I became the focus of the interview. And 2 days later, I had already moved on to another country where I was doing some other research. And I got another call from the BBC because they wanted me to comment on a Vanity Fair article that had just come out on Monica Lewinsky, and they needed me. And I thought, oh gosh, this is really funny. So this point being, keep following what you love, pursuing your passion, working on your skills so that you get better, 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 better. And then sometimes you have these funny, life-changing moments that make you laugh and think, wow, here I am doing and being the main event. And I came out of nowhere, and I was a lady in her 50s who just thought, I'm going to write about happiness on a global level. So that's kind of funny, isn't it? And I think if I could do that in their 50s, then I think anybody listening today could say, hey, I could do something right now or in my lifetime.
Love it, Maura. Love it. That's, you know, it's, I think that's a great example of, you know, following your passion, and just going forward with, you know, you had your intention there to do research about the Beatles, but then who knows, hell yes lifers, where your passion will lead. And just to be open and to follow, these great developments that come up when you start walking that path, right? So suddenly Maura finds herself on, BBC radio. How fantastic is that?
And funny.
I'll have to check that interview out for sure. Okay. So, as we start to wind down, I just always love to ask, my guests this, and there's no pressure to have an answer here. I've asked this recently to people who are super successful and totally living their hell yes lives, and they don't really have what I call a cringeworthy vision, but let's see if you do. I always like to ask people, you know, you've had a lot of success, in your past, but now going forward, Do you have a big vision and something I like to call a cringeworthy vision? Not because there's anything wrong with it, but because it's so big that you cringe even thinking about sharing it with other people. And now here's your chance to share that if you have one.
Yes, I am going to answer this question, and I'm going to answer it without a cringe, because I know that with all that's within me and traveling to 60 countries, all the research I've done on my own, and I know what I've got in my DNA, here's my moment. I would love to be in a room, let's say private conversation, with world leaders. And I would love to be an extra entity there that can ask reflective questions of some of these people whose decisions impact millions of people and get them to see their lives from a different angle and make different decisions that end up impacting and influencing millions for good. That's it.
Awesome.
They don't even have to know my name, but that would make me very, very happy.
Ah, that's a great vision. I love that. And now even just think when hearing you say that, it's like, wow, I can't believe they don't have people there that are there to help them reflect and so forth, but they probably don't. So I wish you luck with that vision. That sounds awesome. So I also always like to ask our guests, do you have one tip, a quote, or a resource that has helped you along the way in your journey that you would like to share with our listeners?
Oh, my. All right. I'm just going to give this because it's coming to mind. It's an old Jewish proverb, and it always hits me. It sounds really old-fashioned, but listen, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. That word thinketh with the ETH verb means on and on and on and on. However, you are thinking over and over and over again, that will dictate the external life you have. So if you are unhappy or let's say unfulfilled with your current situations, one of the biggest things you could start doing is literally actively and intentionally retraining your mind to think it in a better way so that your internal thoughts will ultimately end up being your external reality.
Mm-hmm. Great, great advice. It's about habitual thinking, right?
Yes.
So much of us are in, so many of us are in sort of a habitual thinking of, how horrible things are in the world, or, oh, what's my next problem? You know, I think our minds, I've learned, are almost prone to focusing on problems, you know? And Hell Yes Lifers, take Maura's advice there and start orienting your mind a little bit more towards the positive. Again, baby steps, baby steps. Maura, can you tell us where on the internet we can find you?
Ooh. Well, first of all, I want to say if your listeners love to listen, they could find my podcast. It's Maura Sweeney, Living Happy Inside Out, on iTunes, Stitcher, and I think I'm on Google Play and several others. But the easiest way to find me, if not on Huffington Post, go directly to my website, and it's my name, Maura, M as in Mary, A-U-R-A, number4letteru.com, Maura4u.com, because I'm always for you. And so they could subscribe to my blogs. They could find my podcast there. I have over 200 videos they could watch. And every single one of my blogs, videos, podcasts, etc., are all designed to help them rethink or think it in a new and empowering way so that they can have their hell yes life.
Sounds great. Lots of resources there. Go check it out. And of course, we'll have all of the links that Maura just mentioned in the show notes for this episode. So Maura, to close out our time, I always like to say hell yes together with my guests. Are you ready on the count of three to say hell yes?
I am ready.
All right. One, two, three.
Hell yes.
All right. Thanks for joining me, Maura.
Thanks, Norman.
Thanks for joining me for this episode of the Hell Yes Life podcast. You can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite RSS feed. If you like the show, please leave a rating and review. And if you want to stay connected, visit hellyeslife.com and sign up for the e-newsletter and private Facebook group. Again, I'm Norman Bell. Thanks for joining me. Now let's get out there and live a hell yes life.